Welcome to Real Paranormal Activity, the network. Entertainment you'll enjoy.
You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. Ladies and gentlemen, RPA is proud to present Aaron's Horror Show with Aaron Frail.
This is Jason Witter, author, illustrator of Tiny East Vampire and Monsters Eating Ice Cream, and you are listening to Aaron's Horror Show.
You are listening to Aaron's Horror Show, and I'm your host, Aaron Frail. We get to read fiction on the show and talk about some movies, books, you name it. If you like what I do here, please consider supporting the show at patreon.com/AaronFrail. You'll get some books and other cool stuff for your support. Go ahead and also reach out to me at aaronshorrorshow@gmail.com, Aaron Horror Show on Twitter, or Aaron's Horror Show on Facebook. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy.
Welcome to Aaron's Horror Show, and I'm your host, Aaron Frail. Man, it feels like a really long time since I've actually, like, had the ability to sit down and do podcasts and do a review, you know? My process here is I sit down and do at least 4 episodes every time I sit down to, you know, podcast. And tonight was no exception. I just read 2 chapters or 2 episodes worth of the Touristic U Chronicles, finished up the Cal's Fall, Cal's Revenge, and, you know, you'll actually be hearing you'll hear the actual end that I just recorded just now next week. So this week it's a movie review. Next week it's the end of that story. But in my actual studio here, I went ahead and recorded that first. And the reason I do that is because my voice just, you know, it gives out after a while. Like I ain't no spring chicken. I had a student that used to say that all the time. I ain't no spring chicken. and so I ain't no spring chicken, and I can't really have my voice be used as much as it used to, you know. And so doing, like, a couple hours of recording definitely takes its toll. But, I like doing it this way because I like just getting it all done, sit down once a month, do a ton of recording, and then, have a whole month's worth of stuff for you to listen to. So a little insight to my process. So with that being said, you know, it's been a really long time. I mean, obviously you heard those interviews that I did, and those were more because I had run out of material. And even then, like, I had the last time I recorded, I was able to get like a couple recording sessions in. So I think I did like, you know, recorded 4 and then recorded 4 more the next week. So I had like 2 months of material. So I actually haven't sat down for a very long time to do this. So, you know, it's interesting. I kind of forgot where I was on, Cal's Revenge. I had to go and figure out, you know, what it was. And then on top of that, we have a person renting our guest room in our basement, which is where my recording studio was set up. And so I had to wait a couple weeks to get my recording studio set up again. And so now it's set up again. I'm in a new room. Hopefully the acoustics are good here. We'll see when these episodes are released. you know, how good my audio is. You know, I could always figure out something different if this audio is not working. But anyways, yeah, some stuff to, you know, what does Aaron do at Aaron's Horror Show? for, you know, over 150 episodes later. Man, I've been doing this for a while, and thank you so much for being on this journey with me. Man, if you've heard all 163, 60, whatever it is at this point, oh my, thank you. Wow, you're a trooper. Hats off to you. If this is your first one, thank you for stopping by. All right, so what are we going to talk about today? Let's see what we have here. Suicide Squad. Yeah, Suicide Squad. So if you haven't seen the movie, go out and watch it and then come back. All right, so spoiler alert, we're going to talk about Suicide Squad. So Suicide Squad, to give you a little bit of background about this particular movie, this is the sequel to Suicide Squad, which is more like the reboot to Suicide Squad. So while technically speaking, this is a sequel that we're talking about, the actual guy that made the movie kind of just did his own thing. And that was kind of the expectation, actually. Like, they said really the only thing that he had to do from the only thing he had to keep from the first movie was Harley Quinn. That's it. So the character of Harley Quinn, you know, the female Joker character, was the only actual obligation he had was put her in the movie, you know. And I'm actually really glad they did that, because having seen the first Suicide Squad and seeing this one, man, this one outshines. I mean, I feel bad saying that, you know, because obviously whoever did the first one put a lot of work into it. But man, this one is like amazing, like so good. It just kind of hits everything on every level. And what's really interesting is it's really artistic in a way. You don't really look at a superhero movie and think like it's a work of art. But this particular Suicide Squad, you know, the 2021 Suicide Squad, what I'm talking about here, is like a work of art. You know, I don't say that about, I've never said that about a superhero movie. But, you know, like, one thing that I like about it is it goes into, you know, it goes into the same kind of territory that Doctor Who goes into. You know, like it's not too concerned about how cheesy it is or how silly it is. It kind of embraces that fact that it is sort of a silly premise, right? Like, I mean, think about the Suicide Squad premise for a moment here. You have, you know, something that a team of supervillains will be better at doing than a team of superheroes. So right? So you go to a prison and, you know, cut deals with all these supervillains and then have them come in. And then you also have the bonus that they're supervillains. So who cares if they all die? You know? So that's like the premise of it. And it doesn't cheapen that fact at all. In fact, what I really love about it, like from the get-go, they have you, you know, knowing that it's going to go its own way, right? Like, this is not going to be like the one that you've seen before, you know? Like literally the very opening scene, they bring all these, you know, super villains in, and they have a camera shot that I'm pretty sure is Woody Harrelson. I should look that up before I record these things. You know, do research, you know. Research for suckers. But anyways, they have either Woody Harrelson or the poor man's Woody Harrelson. I'm not sure which. And you think he's going to be the main character of the movie. But literally him and everyone that he goes into battle with, except for Harley Quinn, the only person he's obligated to keep in the second movie, all gets killed, including people that were on the team in the first movie, right? So you have this entire group of villains that you think is going to be the new Suicide Squad, and they all just die, you know? And for those of you who, like, watch movie previews, you probably, you know, are thinking that, that, you know, oh, yeah, You know, like, oh yeah, I knew that it wasn't going to be them because I actually watched the preview, Aaron, and I try not to. I actually try to go into movies completely cold, right? Like what got me to watch Suicide Squad was literally, it's the guy that did the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I loved that movie. Guardians of the Galaxy, that first one, was amazing. Very good movie. Guy's super talented. And so I'm like, oh yeah, he's doing the new one, Suicide Squad, I'm in. That's it. That's all I need to know. Right? And so I got to experience the movie, you know, as intended, in the sense that, you know, you have this whole, like, let's gather the team and then everyone dies. You know, so who's the real team? Well, then they bring on the real team after that, right? But, you know, that first scene, like, it set up the tone of the movie too. Like literally they do the scene where they're all jumping out into the water and there's this character called the Weasel, and he can't swim, right? And so he starts drowning in the water. And they're like, did anyone check to see if this the Weasel could swim? You know, like the idea that they got all these people together and didn't check the basics of, like, can they actually do the mission? Like, that's how disposable they are, right? So anyways, you know, speaking of Doctor Who parallels, you know, there's this sort of... So the premise of the movie is there's this giant, like, you know, starfish that like controls people's minds, basically. And the way the starfish controls people's minds is it makes these little starfish, you know, so it births little starfish, and the little starfish, like, you know, grab onto people's faces and then turn them into, you know, part of the starfish collective. Right. And there's a scientist studying the starfish, and that scientist is Peter Capaldi. And for those of you that are Doctor Who fans, you'll know that Peter Capaldi was one of the doctors, right? The after Matt Smith, but before Jodie Whittaker. So he's in that timeline of Doctor Who's. But yeah, so it's interesting that it has a kind of a Doctor Who aesthetic, and Peter Capaldi comes on as a villain, right? So I thought that was very interesting. And when I say Doctor Who aesthetic, I say that they're not worried about being cheesy. Like, the little starfish creature with the little, you know, face latch on things, they're kind of cheesy looking and kind of cheesy effects, and kind of this, like, sort of corny thing. But it's corny in the same way that Doctor Who is, with, you know, like, Daleks that are literally out of the 60s, right? you know, so I think that's kind of, I don't know, I think that's what made it interesting. And that's where I kind of get into the fact that it was more an art project. It was more artistic as a movie, because it has this aesthetic that is very surrealistic, right? Like it feels like the, so if you go to Spain, Barcelona, I believe. I've never been there, but I've heard about this place. But, you know, in Spain, there's a lot of, like, surrealist painters, right? Like Salvador Dali, right? Probably everyone knows Salvador Dali. He's, like, surrealist, lots of weird paintings. If you don't know him, you know, just Google image search those paintings. You'll see what surrealist paintings look like. They're really just kind of out there, kind of, you know, LSD, trippy, you know, very interesting type of paintings. Well, one of those painters kind of in that era made a city in Spain. And this is real. It's like this part of the city where things are just looking kind of out of a painting, or kind of surrealist, right? So that part of Barcelona where everything just looks kind of off, that's what I equate this movie to. Like literally there's a whole lot of these sort of surrealism moments in, and especially near the end, because it's a giant starfish, you know, like with a big eye, and it, you know, and then a bunch of, like, these people that are kind of marching in unison, and it really much like Doctor Who. Like if you watch Doctor Who, you could make a drinking game out of every time a large group of villains march in unison. You know what I mean? Like marching in unison is a big Doctor Who trope. You know,
And this movie had some marching in unison in it, you know, when they were taken over by the starfish thing. So, yeah, you know, very surrealist thing. And also, you know, it's interesting because, like, the reason why this starfish thing exists is because there's an island off the coast of, like, South America that it's its own country. And I just thought it was interesting that they wanted to go with sort of a South American dictator vibe, you know, like Noriega. But, you know, in today's modern times, you fictionalize it, right? You don't say, like, crazy dictator from, you know, this country. You just make up a country, right? And so they just made up some island country of where the starfish is at. And the reason the starfish is there is because they're, you know, trying to weaponize it to take over humanity or something like that, you know? But the one thing, the other point that I really loved about this movie was the comedy was great. Like, I really love things that blend comedy with genre fiction, you know? So, yeah, definitely my jam here. So if you love, you know, if you love comedy mixed in with your genre fiction, then you've come to the right place. The Suicide Squad 2021 is the thing for you. If you're not so much into comedy blending your superhero movie, then you might skip this one, right? Because you might think that this is it just goes a little bit too far out there. But man, I love the fact that it goes too far out there. Like this is the, I don't know. It's one of those things that just it's really hard to explain. But then when you watch it, you're like, oh yeah, I could see how this has this weird surrealist thing going on, along with it being just a superhero movie and seeing powers and all that kind of stuff. Oh, there was one other point that I really loved. Like, so anyways, they go to infiltrate this island, right? And there's some weird terror dictator that lives there. Well, there's this scene where they come across a camp and they literally slaughter everyone in the camp because they think that they had kidnapped one of their members of the team, which the member of the team that they thought they kidnapped was the guy that played Takeshi Kovacs in the first season of that sci-fi show. I think it was Netflix, actually. Altered Carbon, yeah. Altered Carbon, such a good show. Oh my god, I'm sad they canceled it. But anyways, yeah, the guy that played Takeshi Kovacs in Altered Carbon plays this guy, they, you know, one of the members of the team that they think has been captured, and they all storm in to save him, and they find that, you know, they slaughter everyone in the camp, and then when they finally get to him, they find out that this was actually a rebel camp that was, like, rebelling against the evil government of this island and was actually on their side. So, like, they went in and slaughtered a camp of their own allies, which was kind of a dark, hilarious humor. I mean, you can hear me laughing talking about it. But yeah, really dark humor, you know, and really surrealist. Like, there's one point where this one of the characters kind of reminiscing about her past, and they're on a bus at the time, and you see, you know, her past kind of being reflected in the windows of the bus. And so there's a lot of cool, weird, surrealist stuff going on, but also a good movie. So, man, if you know, if you love something that's a little bit off the beaten path, you love something that has a little bit of surrealism, you love comedy, you love action, you just like something that is going to be a little bit different than you've ever seen, then yeah, go ahead and get Suicide Squad. I really highly recommend this one. If you like a lot of the stuff that I've done, you probably would like this as well. But yeah, go ahead and check it out. And thank you so much for listening. And, you know, if a giant starfish ever comes to attack you, put your hand in front of your face. That seems to work, actually. One of the people kind of defends herself that way. So, giant starfish sending little baby starfish to come attached to your face. Just put something in between your face and the starfish, right? Same thing with the aliens, right? From Alien, you know, like you know, the aliens come, the little face huggers grab your face and implant the embryo. Like why don't you, like you know, like, okay, so there's a scene where Ripley, you know, and Newt are stuck in, like, the thing, and you find Burke was, like, you know, let the aliens out to impregnate her. Well, like, why don't you just put a book in front of her face? You know what I mean? Like, just put a book there, right? Things not getting through a book. Anyways, yeah, that's it. Thank you so much for listening, and have a good night.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.